Hello and welcome to this podcast from the International Monetary Fund. I'm Bruce Edwards. In this program, we take a look at the IMF's new regional economic outlook for sub-Saharan Africa, near-term growth prospects, and what lies ahead for the region's expanding workforce.
We expect that in the next 20 years or so, the number of new entrants in the labor force in sub-Saharan Africa will be larger than the rest of the world combined.
Céline Allard heads the Regional Study Division at the IMF's African Department and oversaw the writing of the new report. She said the region is set for another year of solid performance with a projected growth rate for 2015 of 4.5%. But while sub-Saharan Africa remains among the fastest-growing regions of the world, the decline in oil and other commodity prices has kept this growth projection at the lower end of the range experienced in recent years.
On the one hand, oil importers in the region will continue to face very favorable conditions and they'll continue to grow briskly. But on the other hand, the 8 oil exporters in the region have been hit very hard. And because they have limited buffers, they will have to undertake fiscal adjustment. And that fiscal adjustment will weigh on their growth outlook. So for them, we have actually revised down growth by about 2.5% for this year compared to what we were projecting in October.
So it's a mixed bag. What about the strong U.S. dollar? Is that having an effect on, especially for those countries who have a high level of external debt? Is that a concern now?
So you're absolutely right that the dollar has been appreciating quite substantially across many of the currencies in the region. It has appreciated against the euro, and a lot of countries are actually pegged to the euro, so they've seen their currency depreciate against the dollar. But we've also seen other currency depreciate. Now, on the positive side, it kind of mitigates the impact in domestic currency of the fall of the commodity prices. Expressed in local currency, for example, the price of oil has not declined as much as in dollars. That helps also mitigate the impact on the public finances of those countries. Now, on the less positive side, stronger dollars means also that imports are going to be more expensive. And in particular, infrastructure investment has usually a very large import content, which means that higher price of import will probably mean slower investment effort, infrastructure investment for the region, and that's going to weigh on growth. Now, you also pointed the impact of a stronger dollar on debt service, and this is indeed not a very good development for countries that have a high share of their debt in foreign denominated. So some frontier market are actually going to have a higher debt service, and we're also monitoring the impact it might have on banks' balance sheet as well.
The report also looks at Africa's growing population, and more importantly, the tremendous workforce expansion that's going to happen in the coming years. Is that going to benefit the continent, or is having to provide, you know, what's estimated as being like 18 million jobs per year for the next 20 or 25 years, is that a potential problem for the continent?
So you're right that the region is on the cusp of a very significant demographic transition as fertility rate declines, but also mortality rate declines. So we expect that in the next 20 years or so, the number of new entrants in the labor force, young men and women getting ready to work in sub-Saharan Africa, will be larger than that number for the rest of the world combined. So this is indeed something very, very large for the region. It can bring a lot of opportunities. And in our report, we look in more detail in experiences in other regions that have experienced that kind of transition, Latin America and East Asia in the 60s, 70s. And what we see is that with the right policy, there can indeed be a very large demographic dividends, meaning that that can help lift growth and living standards for the people in the region. That said, it is not going to be automatic. So with the right policy, it can mean a dividend. But you're right to point that if economic growth is not going to be there, it can also be a big concern for all these people who would be unemployed in the region.
And what about what is the role of trade? The report also talks of increasing trade in the region and exports, as well as these global value chains. How could the continent take advantage of that opportunity? What would it take?
So we indeed look in great detail in trade integration of the region in the global economy. And we find that the region has indeed grown a lot. I mean, its ties with the global economy have grown tremendously over the last 20 years. It's partly a story about commodity, but it's not all about commodities. And we've seen countries manage to increase their export even when they don't have a lot of commodity that they export. However, when we look in more detail at trade flows in the region compared to elsewhere in the region, we do find that they tend to trade much less than elsewhere. So we see there, too, a very large potential to expand trade with the rest of the world, trade within the region. And we do see a role for global value chain. So now, what are those global value chains? There are this supply chains that have developed across the world where the production process is sliced in small pieces, and every country adds a little bit of value added before exporting to other countries. Now, elsewhere in the world, in Europe around Germany or in Asia around China and Japan, we've seen a lot of countries develop those value chains and benefit a lot in terms of growth and in terms of living standards. So we think that Africa could also jump into the global value chain wagon and benefit a lot from that. Now, you're asking what it would take to do that. So we look in more details at the policy levers that could help that. And indeed, we do find that infrastructure is the main impediment to trade development, because it takes much more in terms of cost to ship goods and services away from the country to other places. We also find, unsurprisingly, that business climate can be, if it's not conducive to business, can be an impediment. Rule of law, access to credit, and of course tariffs as well. I mean, tariffs remain relatively high in the region, and by lowering them, you could get some potential for additional trade.
There's also the ongoing issue. Since 2014, there's been an increase in the level of violence in several countries, especially Nigeria, and more recently South Africa, with the attacks on foreign workers there. Is the level of violence having an impact on the economy of the region?
So you're right that insecurity can remain, I mean, has remained prevalent in some countries in the region. Although I would like to stress that over the last 20 years, we have seen a decline in the number of conflicts in the region. Now, even having said that, the current elements and instance of violence that we see in the region are indeed having a very huge cost in the humanitarian level, and it also can weigh on the economy. And that's true for the security-related risk that we've seen come back to the forefront in the Sahel region, in Kenya, and as you point out, more recently, some xenophobic events in South Africa. So if those conflicts and elements of violence were to escalate, we do see a potential for a risk on the fiscal, because the authorities have to put resources to fight that violence, but also a negative impact on activity, especially in the agricultural sector. And it can also deter investors, both domestic investors, but also foreign investors to come with foreign direct investment. So yes, it has an impact on growth.
That was Céline Allard, head of the Regional Study Division in the IMF's African Department, talking about the new regional economic outlook for sub-Saharan Africa. You can find the full report at imf.org and more podcasts like this one at soundcloud.com/imf-podcasts.